Okay, so we're back. We've dipped into our history, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the takeover from Dan Friedkin. As things currently stand, I mean, it's just gone 1 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. We haven't yet heard anything official from the club. I mean, you know, Kel Surprise there, but it does seem, as far as we know, while you're worried that Mashiri's still going to do something erratic to put the kibosh on the whole thing, it does seem like it's a formality that the Friedkin group are going to take us over, and that there should be something getting announced maybe today, maybe sometime tomorrow. So if we're assuming that's the case and that he's going to be the new owner, what do you hope for, like short term at least? What are your hopes and expectations?
I suppose some stability, really, and somebody to come in and be serious about it and try and run the club properly. I mean, looking into his history of Roma and, you know, and his other businesses and stuff, what he said at Roma is he brought in some local businessmen. So we may see Bell and Downing involved in it, or another, you know.
Yeah.
People who are, you know, local, who are going to run it, because he's not going to run it like
no,
hands
he's not
going to
be like in the office every day, is he? You know, he's going to be jetting all over the world, you know, doing some piloting.
Isn't his brother involved in it as well?
I think his son.
His son, sorry.
Has, like, yeah. Got a prominent, Ryan, I think.
Ryan Friedkin. Yeah. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because it didn't look like because there was talk that he wanted 45%, and then the classic way that these things happen, then suddenly he's the preferred bidder. But apparently what happened was Mashiri was talking to Bell and Downing. He kind of went cold on that idea, and then he started talking seriously to Friedkin, who he's got a lot of access to a lot of money, isn't he? So is he worth like 6 billion? And also,
I think his personal wealth is something like 6 billion. Yeah.
His company's worth 12 billion, so it's not like he's, you know, he's got access to a lot of funds, which is a positive of it. And also the positive is that he's already involved in football, you know, because some of the groups we were linked with, you just didn't really know what their experience in football was. I'm not saying that's the only thing, but it does help, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah, it's a factor. It's something you take into consideration, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, and a couple of them just came last minute, who, like, 2 billion UK billionaires, and we didn't know their names and all this kind of stuff. I just think after the 777 thing, we couldn't afford to go down that route of... Even the Vachi one seemed a bit like it's a front for, like, other people. Do you know what I mean? It's like, in
Which
a way...
The light one, the Vichy... Vichy
no, the Vachi...
Oh, Vachi, Mnuchin, yeah.
It was like a conglomerate of different investors. It's like you'd rather know a bit more about who these people are than just agree to it and then find out later there's something, you know, shadowy. So, in a way, as much as, like, you know, you were going to get taken over by somebody who's, like, you know, it's going to be an American or a Saudi these days, isn't it, with the money they've got. So, essentially, of the options, I don't think it's a bad one, really. And what he's done with Roma, just reading up on it, I mean, not, you know, he wouldn't say his record's perfect, but he's definitely put them on more of an even keel. They've won a trophy under him. And I mean, people are looking at the signings and all that, but I'm not sure how much he's involved in the signings, you know. So I think the first thing you should do, any owner who comes in, is just put a board in place and a CEO in place who are actually going to run the club like it's 2024, you know.
That's got to be the first thing, hasn't it? You know, exactly. A competent, forward-thinking board. I mean, the fact that I think his son's only like 34 or something, and supposedly he might be, you know, quite prominent in the actual running of the club. You know, I think, you know, a 34-year-old hopefully is going to be a little bit more forward-thinking, a bit more creative in how they run the club, and, you know, sort of maximising like the sort of commercial side of things, which, you know, we've just got left behind. And that's obviously a big part of moving to the new stadium. So someone like that in a prominent role, you would hope would, you know, just move us in the right direction on that side of things, you know, maximising revenues and things.
Yeah, because even when Mashiri took over, we don't feel like we've moved into the modern age, do we, really, in a lot of ways? We're still like a throwback, really, club, you know?
Which,
we're a throwback club in a league of sharks, really.
We're an analog club in a digital age at the moment, and we need to get into.
Who said that? It's a corner. We're a corner shop club. Somebody else said that.
I think I'm paraphrasing. I think it was George Osborne said that about Gordon Brown.
Right. But, you were the future once and all that. Anyway, yeah. And communication, you know, that is an area I do work in, and I think Everton leave a lot to be desired on that. I mean,
it's woeful.
It's improved like maybe a few percentage points in terms of we get a bit more from the director of football now. But in terms of generally, yeah, I mean, obviously there's the whole headlock gate going back to that, you know, it's like trying to throw your own fans under the bus. It's just like pathetic. As I've said on the previous podcast, it's like one of the best things about Everton, or if not the top, is like the fan base is powerful. If you could harness that fan base, a bit like Newcastle did, and get it all pushing in the right direction and like believing in something, because we're desperate to believe in something because we had nothing, you know, we just had misery for years, really, you know. So we just need somebody to come in with a fresh plan. You can't promise that you're going to be, you know, challenging for Europe or the league next year, but you're gonna rebuild and look to build towards that, you know.
Yeah, long term, that's, you know, why not think about that? But yeah, I mean, short term, we've just got to get stable, haven't we? You know, and obviously it's an all equity takeover, so we won't have any debt, which is, you know, massive. I think, you know, because we've had 20 years of these mounting debts with these huge interest rates that we've been paying to these, you know, some slightly dodgy sounding groups, you know, to have wiped all that out in one fell swoop, effectively, you know, that it's a start, isn't it? That alone is a start. And we're not hemorrhaging money on a fucking weekly basis just trying to keep the lights on.
Yeah, I think I heard somebody say we're losing like 5 million a month or something on just on the interest alone.
Yeah, insane.
It is madness, really. But I suppose that just shows you the mismanagement and the, I don't know. I always felt like Mashiri, when he came in, he should have put his own people in. But that was the whole point, I suppose, is the reason Ken Wright sold it to him was that he wasn't going to.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to rock the boat, but he had to rock the boat. We need it. In a way, we've needed for years as an agent to change. And maybe this Dan Friedkin is an agent of change, because looking at his background in, you know, Toyota and film industry and, you know, just somebody who's just going to like turn the club on its head and just say, well, no, this isn't how it. You don't just accept being, you know, an also ran. You don't accept that. You might be, but you've got to try and aim for better than that. And you've got to, and like you said, the first block of that is trying to get financial stability. You're not going to promise the world, but you're going to promise that you're going to be better run. You're not going to have these financial problems around PSR and all that. You're going to scout properly. You're going to look into the marginal gains you can make, and you're going to try and maximize commercial revenues. There's been some reports saying that he likes the idea of looking around the stadium as well and developing that. You know, there's a lot of areas around the new stadium. I mean, even this week, even in the current ownership, we've seen a new deal with Kastori, you know, although that's, you know, it's controversial, but they're giving 20 million a season, which is bigger than we've ever had before.
Yeah, it is a lot for us, yeah.
And then you got Hewlett-Packard doing the Wi-Fi in the new stadium. So that's two big commercial deals already. And that's before he's come in. So, and you can see that's the thing. A lot of people are complaining or they're worrying about whether Roma will be like, because, you know, it's like a multi-club group or whatever.
Yeah.
Whether Roma will be the top of it. Maybe so, but then we're not near Roma in that way currently. But he probably sees the vast potential, not just the Premier League, but of various things, the way that Premier League and football is going to go in terms of, you know, tie-ups, commercial deals, documentaries, you know, Hollywood. You know, we've seen it with Wrexham, you know. I mean, Wrexham, you know, a club that have struggled for years and years and years, and now they've got Hollywood owners. They're known in the States, you know, over their documentary. I mean, imagine the documentary you could make of Everton. I mean, God, in both ways, the glory days.
Who'd direct that? I mean, it'd be a fucking Werner Herzog film, wouldn't it? It'd be so grim.
Yeah, but we've had our glory days, haven't we? And then, yeah, you know, into this era, it's just been an absolute car crash. Mm. But then people like car crashes in some ways. Yeah. And also there's the redemption, isn't there, of, you know, this big Hollywood guy coming into a club and sort of restructuring it and make it, pushing it in the back, in the right direction, you know, and with, yeah, a new stadium and everything. I could see the potential for, you know, for our first season in Bramley Moor, whatever it'll be called, I don't know, the Toyota Stadium or whatever. Yeah, for it being like a documentary or whatever. You've got to look at all these things now, and, you know, that's the way football's going.
Yeah, one thing you just mentioned about, like a lot of people have said, Roma are going to be top of their structure, pyramid or whatever. And as you say, you know, we're not sort of in that, at their level yet. But I wonder if that will sort of almost work to our advantage in a way, because obviously he's going to want us to be successful and well run and everything. And you'd think he's going to install the right kind of people. But I wonder if that means he will leave, you know, the good footballing people to run the football inside, you know, and he's not going to be too much of a hands-on owner. Like I said, I don't really know what his style is at Roma, to be honest, but I wonder if them maybe having, at least for the time being, more of his attention might actually work in our favour. Once he's put the necessary structures in place, he might just leave the people to do their jobs, kind of thing.
I can't get a read on it either. I read a few of their statements when they went into Roma, and they left the CEO or the director of football in place, I think, at the time. Mm. But then he did change it. He did have Mourinho in there. But since then, he's also gone back to, is it De Rossi's now their manager? You know?
Yeah.
They've gone back to a fan favourite. So he's had both, you know, a young coach as well. So he's had both, hasn't he? He's had the glamour, big name. And he's also
the Hollywood coach.
Yeah, he's also had the young progressive coach, probably the you know, the local favourite. So he's had both, really. I don't know if you can read more into like the football side of it, because obviously he's probably leaning heavily on Roma's director of football and CEO, you know, who are already there, who were part of the, you know, they're part of the Roma DNA, as they put it. So, yeah. And Roma are a club with a lot of history as well. So there's a lot of parallels in terms of, they were struggling at the time. Hopefully he's learned from that experience. And also it's the Premier League, ultimately. I'm not to be bad at, you know, ultimately, yes, Roma might be the head of the de facto, you know, multi-club thing. I mean, there's only three clubs in the thing. Yeah. So I think he's going to want both big clubs to thrive, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're spending that kind of money, you're not doing it for someone to be, you know, and also run or just survive. You know, obviously he's going to want to maximise in the long term. And obviously we're all for that. It's just, it's interesting, isn't it? Or it will be interesting, assuming everything goes through, to see what he does in the short term and what his approach is. And we don't need someone to come in with a sledgehammer. So we just, all we need, like, clearing the debts, brilliant start. And then I think he just needs to put the right structures in place and leave people to do their jobs. You know, obviously the corporate side and the commercial side is what's been lacking, and he probably needs to do more with that. But hopefully just putting the support and infrastructure in place for the football side to grow in the coming years, rather than be playing, you know, catch up and having to sell and things like that.
Yes, yeah. And being in weak positions in transfer windows, etc.
Yeah.
Which we'll get onto next time. But yeah, I agree. He needs to put like a decent board in place and people who are sort of experienced in maximising commercial deals and running a club, really.
Yeah.
You wonder if Bell and Downing will be involved in it, because Bell's been, apparently he's been involved in the club for a year, you know, in a sort of capacity. So we'll see. Or will it be his own people, is his own choosing? We'll see. But
Or a mix of both. It would be interesting, wouldn't it? But I mean, does it give you, do you feel optimistic, would you say?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because Mashiri has sort of changed the goalposts so many times until it's all dotted and crossed off and signed off. But I mean, like,
if we work on the assumption it goes through, you know.
Yes.
Do you feel optimistic looking to the future?
I think of the bids, it's not a bad one because, as I say, he's a known quantity. He has plenty of cash. I think the worry with the Bell and Downing one, although they would have been good, they are good businessmen and they are Evertonians, It's the financing, wasn't it? They're millionaires. Yeah. They're not billionaires. He's a billionaire and he's a serious. So there is that, gives you that assurance, doesn't it? And obviously he's a successful fella, you know, reading up on him. I mean, I didn't know. Until he'd been linked, I'd never heard of him, had you?
Yeah, but only through the Roma thing. And right. I think, you know, like it, when Killers of the Flower Moon came out, you know, lots of the headlines were, you know, the Roma's owner is nominated for an Oscar as producer and all that kind of thing. So then I realised he had the film studios. But no, I still can't pretend to know much about him.
Yeah, because he does a lot of philanthropic work. I can't say that word. Philanthropic work as well.
Lots of conservation work.
Conservation.
Like serious about that as well. He's putting a lot of money to conservation in Africa.
Which does show he's got a side to him that's kind of like not just super capitalist.
Yeah.
And also I like the idea that he's kind of like got a bigger picture in terms of film industry, you know. So he obviously understands entertainment, the media, you know, which hopefully will bleed through into who they pick as, you know, communications. Because currently we've got someone there who shall not be named, who's from The Echo, you know. It's like, we need to move into the 21st century.
I think he gets an unfair rap, to be honest. That's not
he's a good journalist, but...
It's not his job to communicate with at the outset. His job is to arrange press conferences, basically. Right, his job's right. Not to communicate.
I'm just saying that our
communication... But your point is right about communication.
Yeah, and you know, we need a bit of a clean sweep, don't we, of Everton? There's a lot of people there, and we don't know what they're all doing. Probably needs a bit like your Man United are going through at the moment. It's like you had evaluation of everyone, don't you? You know what their goals are and like what can be optimized. Not to pick on individuals, just, you know, saying that in terms of communication, we are very lacking. You know, I mean, other clubs, they get a lot. You know, really, I mean, since Thelwell's been there, I don't know, he's got a really hard job, but it's a choice, isn't it? It's like, how many times have you seen him on a video talking about Everton? I haven't, barely.
Well, I mean, your director of football, I mean, he's spoken publicly a little bit, but he shouldn't be doing that at all. That should not be part of his remit. You should never even see your director of football.
Possibly.
But he should not be front and centre, and it's been left to him and Dyche.
But then you should have every season just a short interview, you know, of the general, you know, what he basically puts on the website. I think a short interview would be helpful. But anyway, that's just my opinion. You know, I just think better communication with the fans and not trying to work against the fans. That's what the club's been doing for years. I mean, that's crazy. And sticking their head in the sand. It's like, if there's a problem, it's like, go quiet. It's like, well, as we've seen, going quiet doesn't help because it leaves a space for people to speculate. I mean, so with all this administration stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
creating problems all the time with this lack of back and forth communication with the fan base. It's the worst thing, isn't it? Especially like in the modern social media age with football, you know, if you don't communicate, you're going to leave it open to wild speculation at times. And that's exactly what happens with Everton.
Yeah, for sure. And I just think somebody who's a communication, I mean, like when Alan Myers was there, he was very good at it, you know, he was very, very good at it. I mean, it's basically just having a dialogue with your fan base, you know.
Shouldn't be too much to ask, should it, really?
No.
Should be such
you don't want to know the ins and outs, because obviously sometimes there's information that's, you know.
Yeah, it can't be in the public domain.
Might compromise a situation like a contract or a transfer or whatever. You can't, you know. But I think the way that, I mean, a lot of clubs do that in the Premier League, but some of them are better in terms of communication. I mean, look at Brighton as the model, you know. I mean, the way Tony Bloom runs that club is just like the communication with the fan base. They're all on side with it, you know. And I know it helps being successful, but they're all on side with what the direction they're going and what they're doing with the club. Whereas we're just like, oh, what's going to happen next?
What's going on this weekend?
Yeah, which is, I know it's a lot of it's because they're afraid of actually saying the truth, which has been shit. But you need to be upfront and honest, you know, and, you know, that's what Scouse is like, you know, being upfront. Just like upfront, tell us what's going on, you know.
Yeah.
Rather than...
We're not kids, you know, we can cope.
Yeah, and all these like in the nose and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's all pathetic, isn't it, really? Not to be thing about anybody in particular, because I do, you know, I listen to them and you know, but we shouldn't be finding out from in the nose, really.
No.
Some of the things, anyway, like team news and stuff like that. I mean, they've said they're going to change that, aren't they? There's going to be like 75 minutes before team news is released now, so.
All right, okay.
It'll probably be in the nose out of that job, so.
Yeah.
But other stuff, it's just like basic stuff, like about commercial deals and stuff like that. You find out from in like Twitter accounts with a hat, you know.
It's a bit
bonkers, really. And things like, you know, people speculating on Everton's finances when they haven't got the full books in front of them, you know. I mean, not to say that they're not knowledgeable, these people, but you're still surmising, you know.
Unless you've got the accounts in front of you, you don't really know what the fuck you're talking about. And people shouldn't be giving these people their views weight as though they do, unless they're actually our accountant. These people are best ignored, I think.
Yeah, and I know it's because the club has been in a mess for quite a few years now, but it's always on the negative side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's got to be some time to just put this positive. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, well, maybe this is it. You know, maybe this is the beginning of, you know, I'm not going to say like a brave new era and get carried away, but just the start of a fucking competent era would be something, wouldn't it?
We're due some luck, aren't we? I said that to you.
We really are.
Due some luck. We smashed various mirrors and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Walked under various ladders as Evertonians, really. But we do. Like you said, we're not even asking for that much now. Like there was a time when we were sort of like against that glass ceiling, weren't we, and the Moyes and stuff.
Yeah.
We were just hitting our head on like fifth, sixth, you know, seventh. Now we kill to be in that position.
Oh, God, yeah.
So it just shows you how quickly
for that. Yeah.
Well, look at, I mean, the two good examples, I'm not saying we're going to do this because that's, you know, extreme, but, you know, Villa were in a mess, you know, they went down, they went further than us, and they were, you know, they had dodgy owners. They were in a lot of financial problems, and then they got taken over, and they're a similar sort of size club to us. So it's a good example. They got taken over. They put in, okay, Gerrard wasn't a great choice, but then they made the great choice in Emery, who I would have loved for at Everton many times. But now look at them. They're like, they just made some, even when Gerrard was there, they were actually recruiting well, if you look at it.
Oh, they were,
yeah. So you got your likes of Bailey and your, you know, Diego Costa and various players that I think they went a bit down the Coutinho route, you know, like splashing the cash. And then they realised that you've got to be more, you know, stats and data driven with your Ollie Watkins and people like that. And then when they got the good coach, they took off, you know. And now although they're going to have the other opposite problem now, they're going to have the problem that Newcastle had in terms of PSR and all that. But ultimately, they've really turned it around for the club, you know, and from where they were, like, and that shows you again with selling Grealish, you know, they really used that money to rebuild. That's another thing, you know, we probably get onto the transfer thing, but, you know,
for another day, I think. Yeah.
Recruitment is huge, isn't it? It's like, I'm not, you know, it's hard to judge Kevin Fairwell, really, or Dyche, you know, on recruitment, because they just, their hands have been tied, really. Right. That's another topic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, there's obviously things that we want to see changing long term and things we want to see changing short term. So, as I say, you know, as of today, nothing officially has been announced, but, you know, maybe by the time this comes out, at the very least, he'll have been given that period of exclusivity, if not, you know, completed. Well, say completed, obviously subject to all the tests, ownership tests and everything. But let's hope it goes smoothly and it's the beginning of, you know, a bit of stability for the club in the coming seasons.
For sure.
And obviously, you know, once he's in, you know, we'll judge him by what he does when he's in situ, I suppose.
Yeah, and who he employs. I think who he employs might be as huge as who he is, you know, and what he's got.
Yeah, definitely.
Because
the right people in the right post, haven't you?
There's a mixture of, like, you know, Mourinho said when he was sacked that he didn't really know about football. But then, on the other hand, you could flip it and say, well, he's an American, so and he's only been in it two or three years. Would he know about football? He's going to be leaning on people who do, you know. I suppose in a way, though, he's been in it for 4 years now, so he maybe does know a bit more now. And that could just be sour grapes from Mourinho as well.
Yeah.
But It's who you employ, isn't it, often? You know,
it is.
A lot of owners don't really know. I mean, look at Mashiri. You don't really know about football.
No, well, you know, you run any company, you employ the right people in the right posts, don't you? But
exactly. It gives me hope, though, that that Free King group does seem very successful, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it gives you hope. I mean, he did inherit some wealth, didn't he, off his father, but he's still grown his wealth and he's still made some really, you know, even just in the film industry, he's made some really... he's had some really big successes, so
yeah.
Let's hope, fingers crossed. This guy.
Yeah, let's hope for some something conclusive in the next day or two, anyway. And then I think we can come back and hopefully talk about actual transfer manoeuvrings in the next week or so. Once we see where we are with the ownership and takeover situation.
I think before the end of June, there's going to be a few movements, isn't there?
Yeah, so, well, I think, the next couple of weeks, I think we'll have a fair bit to talk about. So we'll come back to that in the coming days and weeks. I think we'll leave it there for today.
Yeah.
I think two pods in one day is probably enough to be going on with. But until next time, thanks for listening and up the fucking toffees.
Up the toffees.